Views and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. With that, I have Craig Compo, third Wednesday of every month, calling in from somewhere in Mexico. How are you calling? How are you doing, Craig?
I'm doing good, Dave. You hear me okay?
Try it again.
Amigo.
There we go.
Hey, amigo.
A little bit, if you give it a little bit louder, please.
Yeah, there's that. Let me try that. How's that?
Much better, much better. So guess what we are now? Guess what KFAR Problem Corner is now?
What are you?
An international show.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're coming. Yeah, this is great. I was happy to do it. You called the other day, and I was out on a fishing boat. I said, not going to make it into the studio today. but you know, there's always call-ins. So, yeah, happy to talk.
What part of Mexico are you in?
Down just outside of Playa del Carmen. It's a place called Puerto Adventuras, and it's a very nice community down here, and it's I don't want to tell you what the weather is. It'll just make you
do it off. Because do it. What is it?
No, actually today it's a light overcast, probably about 78. But it's been in the mid 80s most of the time I've been here. It's just beautiful.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, as I was saying to you earlier, if there's ever time for you to retire and spend time in Mexico, this is you hit it right perfectly. Jerk.
People are telling me I should be a travel agent. I booked my first trip down here this winter, the 29th of November. It was snowing like crazy, and the next day it dropped to 25 below, and it pretty much stayed there for the 45 days I was gone.
Yeah.
And I was back in January for most of January, and it was actually, the back half was pretty nice. You know, it was 30 above when I landed in Fairbanks. And then I had a couple of weeks to call just to remind me what it's like. But, no, it's nice.
Oh. So you're back in mid to end of April?
Mid-April I'll be back. I've got some business going on there. And, my mom's there, and I got to go see her, spend some time with her. My sister's there, so she's keeping an eye on my mom. And, and the kids, I miss the grandkids already, but they were down here a bit this winter. So, yeah, it's nice. It's just nice. Nice change of pace, but I won't be there. I certainly won't be here from May to October, and I'll be just going back and forth once in a while down here.
Well, hey, I got a phone call ready for us. You ready for a phone call?
Oh no, yeah, okay.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Craig Compo in Mexico, and your name is.
Hi, Dave.
Yes.
Oh yeah, you were asking about Mexico. What was your or was it something else?
I've got a guy calling in from Mexico. I know what you want to do.
We can do it some other time.
Yeah, let's do it some other time because okay. I'm booked today. Let's go on Monday. Let's go on Monday. Call first thing Monday, and the first 10 minutes will be on your topic, okay?
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah, how's that for taking care of business, Craig?
I'm assuming he wasn't asking how the fishing is down here.
Well, okay, how was your massage?
Actually, it was nice. Yeah, it was nice. some things is funny. Some things are really inexpensive, and other things aren't. And for example, a bag of limes, about 30 limes, $2.70, and they actually taste like limes, not eight balls.
Okay.
And other things, massages, a steak dinner, some things like that, they're better priced in states, but not a fraction of them. So
okay,
yeah, it's all good.
We got another call coming in.
All right.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Craig Compo in Mexico, and your name is.
My name's Al.
Ow! Oh my God! we got part of the laundry house gang here.
I'm curious. I don't understand. You know, people were flooding from Mexico into the United States, and then Craig decides to leave the United States and go to Mexico.
Craig's always been a reverse engineering type person.
Yeah. I'm wondering what the logic is.
There's no logic. Straight luck.
Hey, and by the way, it's the laundry casa cartel, the laundry house gang, the laundry casa cartel.
Oh God. Any other? Okay, y'all. You take care, buddy. Talk to you later. Man, you got all your old running mates calling up on this.
Yeah, I missed the laundry house gang.
Oh boy,
I'll have to zoom in.
When you get back, you know, we got to deflect to your business. When you start making people leave your buildings there for their vehicle storage.
Yeah, good question. So we have Boat Street Storage. It's indoor heated storage for cars and a few boats, but mostly cars and trucks, and we have some small like camper vans. Typically the first 3 days of May is move out time, and we'll schedule it with those that are in there. And so far everybody's real happy with it. You can't come in and work on the vehicle during the winter, but you can check on it. We have cameras. We've got 17 cameras. We've got alarms. So we've got everything ready, and it's just nice. It was nice because there was a shortage, as you know, Dave, of available indoor heated storage this year with Kmart shutting down.
Yeah. Project. Well, Tim Cerny remodeling what he's doing in there.
Repurposed.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What do you got planned for, you got a couple grandkids in town.
Yeah.
What are you going to go? Are you going to go catch an endangered species fish with them this summer?
I've got quite a bit of fishing plans with my grandkids, and they're the older girls are almost getting old enough to go hunting. Although I don't know if they want to, but I'm sure the family tradition will continue. We'll put some caribou or moose in the freezer soon enough with these young girls. But you know, we were talking about cars, Dave, and I had prepared a few questions for you regarding the transportation industry. If you want to go into that, I don't know.
Why certainly, Craig. Let's just embarrass Dave on the radio. Let's do it.
Well, no, you know, I was thinking back about. Thinking about the kind of cars we had in high school.
Oh God, the ones that ran. Course,
what?
The ones that ran.
Yeah, the ones that ran. And so I did a little history on some vehicles, but I had a couple general questions. I wanted you to guess on to see how close you can come.
Certainly.
Okay, what was the first American car with a digital speedometer?
A digital. Speedometer.
As opposed to your regular analog needle, some digital speedometer. First American car.
Oh man, first American.
I'll give you a hint. It was the year we graduated high school.
what was it? A 78 Camaro?
No, it was a Cadillac Seville. Was the first American car. I think there was a foreign car that had it in 76, but Cadillac was the first one to come out with it. You know, the digital. And some of these old cars, I was thinking back in high school. Remember Dean Stevens' dad's Galaxy?
Yeah, Raylan's Galaxy, yeah. 65 Raylan. Galaxy, yeah.
Yeah, with a steering wheel that almost didn't fit in the car. Remember that steering wheel?
Those seats were so big, we could pile like 8 people in there.
And often did.
And our accoutrements that we carried.
Yeah.
Pony kegs and stuff like that, yeah.
Okay, how about the first car with production airbags? Was it before or after the digital speedometer?
It was before. I wouldn't say production. I'd say, airbags that were placed in on an experimental basis.
Yeah,
you know, 72 Malibu or something like that?
Oh, very good guess. Very good. 73 Tornado.
Okay.
That's a pretty good guess.
Yeah.
How about the first car to offer air conditioning?
Oh, boy.
This is a tough one. It was called a weather conditioner. It goes way back. I was shocked.
I'd say a 49 DeSoto.
It was a 39 Packard.
Oh, okay. You know, what the heck?
That's not bad. Here's an interesting bit of trivia on that. They actually had this thing installed in the trunk, and you had to stop and remove a belt to turn it off.
Yeah. Oh, that might lose a finger.
Real convenient. Yeah, it was $275 for the air conditioning, which is about the equivalent of what 1,600 gallons of gas would have cost back then. So it was not a cheap option.
Wow.
But, you know, it's all relative. Okay, now here's one in your backyard. What was the first and last year of the Chevy Vega?
Well, let's see. I had one. Yeah, I had a 74 Vega. I'm going to say 77.
That was the last year. What was the first year?
72.
First and last.
72.
So 71 to 77.
Wow.
And, yeah. And, you know, obviously, that I remember you driving around and just thrashing that.
You know, when you're 15 years old and you're driving your first car you've bought illegally, you don't care what it is. It's yours.
Oh, I know. It was yours. It wasn't new, was it? You bought it used?
No, I bought it used, yeah. Yeah, I could afford a new car back then. My God.
No, we neither. I had a 69 Chevy Kingswood Estate.
I know.
Like Clark Griswold's car on vacation. Anyway, that car that you drove, Dave, what was unique about that one, introduced in 71, it had an all-aluminum block.
Yeah.
And it was the first domestic car with an all-aluminum block.
That engine heated up so fast for the cold winters, it was great.
It was
fantastic.
But here's what's funny. Now, they were building, Chevy was trying to compete with the Toyota Corolla and a couple other fuel misers. Of course, that was around the time of the gasoline lines were so long, energy crisis, right?
Yeah.
And here's something I learned about the Vega, which I thought you would think is appropriate and funny. Due to extreme cost cutting, like they were cutting the fender liners.
they had no margins. Their sales had really, no margins.
No, we didn't see as much in Fairbanks, but that car was really prone to rust because they cut the fender liners. Yeah, you're right. And you know how much money they saved? Guess how much money they saved per car by cutting
$70.
$3.
Oh God. What took the place of the Vega?
Oh, see, that would have been 78 Camaro.
No. My dad bought one for us.
Oh, you mean for a little fuel miser?
Yeah.
The
Chevette.
Oh, the Chevette, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, but yeah, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Yeah.
Okay.
Fairbanks, I got Craig Compa. We are now an international radio program, and we'll be back after these messages.
On KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
If pain slows you down, McKinley Orthopedic Sports Medicine and Spine helps you stay active. From sports injuries to everyday aches, their board-certified team is here for the interior community. McKinley Orthopedics gets you back to what you love. More at McKinleyOrtho.com.
Left, 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 right, left. It's March. March. I crack myself up. Hey, Fairbanks, Les Nichols with Fairbanks Nissan. March is here, and you know what that means for the weather. Yeah, neither do I. I tried controlling the weather, but I just ended up winded. Okay, last point about the weather. I promise I'll chill out. So we don't know what direction the weather is going to take, but I bet we'll see it all. Snow, cold, thawing temperatures, sunshine, dry pavement, black ice, more snow. Who knows? Here's what I do know. If you're waiting in line to get your car serviced at another shop, you might be an April Fool. If you try to get a service appointment at your usual shop and they tell you May, as in maybe they'll get to it, maybe they won't, then march yourself down to Fairbanks Nissan and let us get you in fast. Yes, we sell Nissans, and we work on all makes and models, and we work with most extended warranty contracts, even if you didn't get it from us. So why are you waiting in line? If the flowers are going to bloom before your car gets looked at, you should spring on in. Oh, and buy 3 tires, get one for $1 back. This is our best deal of the year on tires, so don't wait for the line to start. Go online and schedule your speedy appointment today at FairbanksNissan.com. That's FairbanksNissan.com.
If you have a cracked windshield, broken house window, even heavy equipment glass smashed on the job, the answer is simple. Frontier Glass. They specialize in auto glass repair and windshield replacement, residential window repair, custom glass cutting, and even glass installation for heavy equipment and semi-trucks. In fact, Frontier Glass works on auto, residential, commercial, and industrial glass projects. So if it's glass, they can help. Check them out on Van Horn Road or give them a call at 907-451-4527. Frontier Glass.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 3 below. Winds out of the southeast around 5 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight, lows around 26 below. Highs level off around 3 above tomorrow, mainly cloudy skies expected. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. We are an international show today. Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing great, especially since I heard on the commercial it's 26 below tonight or something. Yeah, I think it gets down to 75 or 76 here, but.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting talking about vehicles back then. You know, I had the Vega, then I had the truck. Yep. And then, you know, I'd go off to college and I'd come back and, you know, my little sister. Now, this is the family. I'm driving to school my junior year in a Vega. And my sister, who's a freshman, she's driving to school in a 1966 Jaguar sedan.
I remember that.
And she would always park right next to me at Monroe in the parking lot. And everyone would look out the windows, you know, of our biology class or whatever it was there on the east side of the building. And they'd take a look at my car and my little sister's car, and they'd just look at me. And I'd say, hey, it's Don Pruse's youngest kid and only daughter. And just the way it is.
I think it's you just spent a higher percentage of your budget on kegs.
Well, yeah, you know, I will neither dispute or confirm that.
You know what's really neat about the Vega production that I learned? And this reminded me of our SJX boats a little bit when we were selling them. We changed those hulls by 2 inches to get them to fit inside a container. We could fit 4 of them in a high cube container because we'd ship them overseas. We shipped those boats all over the world, Ukraine, Russia, Spain, Germany. We shipped them all over the place, and we needed them to fit in a container. And originally they were about just 1¾ inches too wide at the gunwale, so we narrowed them up. And something similar happened with the Vega. Now, back in those days, you could fit about 18 cars on a typical tri-level rail car, you know, when they were moving them. Chevy came up with a system, and I watched some videos on it, where they could get 30 Vegas on the same 18-car size rail car. And what they did, Dave, I don't know if you've ever seen it, it's called a VersaPack. They literally drove the cars up a little ramp, and then that ramp tilted straight up, so all the cars were nose down for transport. They were strapped in, and they were like crayons in a pencil box. They were standing up, and they could get 30 of them,
like a crayon, Crayola style. Yeah,
they had to baffle the oil so it couldn't enter number one cylinder. They had to change the filler caps on the battery. They had a tube from the carb to the vapor canister. Windshield wiper bottle was angled. I mean, you think of this, all this, and saved a lot of money. I mean, you could fit almost twice as many on a truck, so it cut their transportation costs probably 30-40%.
We have a call, sir.
Yeah.
Here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Craig Campo in Mexico, and your name is?
Hey, Dave, this is Charles. There was an amphibious Crosley or something in here.
Charles, we're getting a lot of background noise on you there.
Yeah, turn his volume down.
You there?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
The Crosley. Amphibious Crosley.
Craig, can you hear what he's saying?
You
better have Crosley.
Okay.
Amphibious car.
Okay. Okay. Those were fun. I remember seeing one there at Groudon Field. Well, so much for that.
Yeah. What was he talking about?
Amphibious cars. So the amphibious cars that had the little propellers in the back?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting, working for my dad in the mornings, then I always did better when I had a job before or after school because I had to focus on my schoolwork. And one time he got me a job after school, and I worked for Hertz Rent-A-Car. I was 14 years old. You know, after school got out, you know, I'd drive my motorcycle or wasn't driving my car as a freshman yet, but I still had it. But I'd take my motorcycle and I'd drive it down Hertz Rent-A-Car. And my job in the beginning was changing out the tires of the fleet. Now, they had Vegas, Novas, and Impalas. Now, the Vegas that they had, I had a four-speed Vega, a really nice car. I mean, I really liked it, treated it well. And their Vegas were, you know, just regular standard, not a standard transmission, but, you know, what you have today. It wasn't a stick, and they were gutless. But they had the 13-inch tire. The Nova had the 14-inch tire, and the Impala had the 15-inch tire. And for the first 3 weeks that I was there, you know, you went through spring break, and I changed tires on like 100 cars. And the Impala had the 15-inch tire, and the Vega with the 13-inch tire were fine. Those 14-inch tires, those were a bear. We didn't have one of those air compressor style tire changers. It was one of those, you know, manual. So just, man, you have to crank and crank and crank, you know, just to get the seal made on it. Oh, my God.
Well, it was good for practice getting you in shape.
Yeah, boy, I know how to change tires and, you know, changing the oils of everything and, you know, just making sure all the fluids were good and washing them. But that's my first job, you know, $2.65 an hour after school.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I get about 2.5 hours every day, and then Saturdays, you know, 8 hours on Saturday.
Well, here's another thing on the car side, and this goes back to Alaska. And, you know, you think about, like, Robert Sheldon in, what was it, 1913, drove first motorized rig to come up from Valdez. Now, how long, what's the quickest you've ever made that trip, Dave, like Valdez to Fairbanks?
I can tell you from Fairbanks to Anchorage, I made it in 4 hours and 38 minutes.
That's movement.
Yeah. Okay. You're averaging about 76 miles an hour.
Okay, what do you think Robert Sheldon averaged on his trip from Valdez to Fairbanks?
6 days.
No, how many miles an hour? You're close. 4 days.
Well, let's see, 4 days, if he went 10 hours a day, say back then it was 400 miles, so we averaged 100 miles a day, 10 hours, so we averaged 4 miles an hour.
He averaged 9 miles an hour, so he must have been scooting on the flat spot.
Yeah, what the heck? What the heck?
Okay, now here's some other interesting vehicle trivial. The number one, what do you think the most popular vehicle is in Alaska? This is based on 2024. I would have got this wrong, but
I'm going to say the Toyota Rave.
RAV4?
Yeah.
You know what? That's what I thought, and I've had one of those. It's the Chevy Silverado 1500, actually.
That's a little bit bigger and different, yeah.
Yeah. I looked up this. It was a little article on the top-selling three vehicles in every state, okay?
Uh-huh.
And the RAV4 would have taken it because it's always in the top three in almost every state. But here's what's interesting. There's only, there's only 9 states where all top three are trucks. Okay.
Alaska's one of them.
No, Alaska isn't. Oh. Because the RAV4 guy.
That got in there, yeah.
Yeah. I want you to pick three states that all would be in the top three having trucks.
Colorado, Arizona, Wyoming.
You got Wyoming right.
Montana.
That's what I thought. Nope, not Montana.
Florida. Texas.
Nope.
Well, I'm done guessing. I'm done guessing.
Yeah, okay. Well, Wyoming is always, I think that's one of the highest rates. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, no, there's Arkansas, Louisiana, New Mexico, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Dakota, and Wyoming. Yeah, so a lot of big truck sales in those areas, you know. So Alaska, though, I really thought it would be all three would be trucks. You got to have mom's car in there, right? So.
There you go. Anyway. There you go.
Anyway, yeah.
we're gonna take a commercial break, Craig. We got the half hour break. We got some bumper music for you. We have some Fox News, some state news, some weather, some commercials. And we will be back with our international show on this Wednesday.
Man of Mystery.
Yep.
coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
Fox News, I'm Tom Gray on the Senate, holding a hearing today on worldwide threats as the war rages against Iran.
Threats from Iran or affiliated countries may be top of mind, but again, this hearing about many different threats facing the United States, including the drug flow across the southern border. Also, the threat posed by Russia and North Korea and China.
Fox's David Spunt. Israel continues to target Iranian leadership. Fox's Trey Yinks is in Tel Aviv.
The Israelis launched a precision strike to kill Ismail Khatib, Iran's intelligence minister, a man who was responsible in part for taking down the internet in Iran. You can see some file video of him here. He was also responsible for coordinating the sleeper cells of the Iranian regime around the world.
Iranian State TV confirming the death. The Federal Reserve announcing today it will leave interest rates unchanged. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KTOO reports negotiations between the city and borough of Juneau and the local chapter of the International Association of Firefighters have stalled out after more than a year of contract negotiations. The union has been operating without one since last summer. In its proposal for a three-year contract, the city says it is offering Juneau's local IAFF the best offer it has ever made to a union, but firefighters say it still doesn't make their department competitive for recruits or for employees to stay in the long term. Juneau's deputy city manager, Robert Barr, said the city has come to agreements with two other city unions, the Marine Engineers Beneficial Association for port employees and the Public Safety Employees Association for police. IAFF is the last remaining, he said, and to IAFF specifically, CBJ has offered the best, like the single sole best monetary offer that we've ever made to any union ever. Barr said the city is offering on average a more than 11% wage increase in the first year.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Make Ivory Jack's part of your weekend plans. Gluten-free Thursdays. Friday night means prime rib perfection. Saturday, dig into mouth-watering baby back ribs. And Sunday, brunch done right. Grab your people. Enjoy the full bar selection or swing by the liquor store for a six-pack to go. And don't forget to snag some Ivory Jack's swag. Proud supporters of the dog mushing community, Ivory Jack's is excited to sponsor the 80th year of the Open North American. From start to finish, Ivory Jack's, where the parking is always gluten-free.
Real Alaskan heroes.
The Woodway salutes you, Miss Blaze King owner.
Your princess works 24 hours a day.
So when you wake up to the fire you started yesterday,
you don't have to worry.
You just grab coffee and sit down in your comfy chair.
So much time to yourself.
What you could accomplish now that you need less wood.
Less wood and less cleaner.
Your Blaze King treats you the way you deserve all winter long. Saluting heroes, the Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway. Brought to you by Blaze King and Wicked Long Burn Times.
Endless opportunities are waiting for you with part-time service in the Alaska Army National Guard. You have the chance to be a guardian of this amazing state and help protect what makes it so special. The Alaska Army National Guard responds quickly to emergencies and helps citizens in need. With so much amazing territory to watch over, first responders depend on the Alaska Army National Guard helicopters and air crews for critical search and rescue missions, fighting wildfires, as well as transport to hard-to-reach areas. Soldiers also help local communities recover from the damage caused by storms and floods. Your service will also provide education benefits. The Alaska Army National Guard has several assistance programs to help pay tuition costs and other educational expenses so you can get the education needed to reach your career goals. And you can go to school full-time while serving part-time. Learn how you can help guard the last frontier at nationalguard.com/AK. Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard. Aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
And streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Craig Campo calling in from some bum place in Mexico. Why, you're having a Corona, really?
Hey, it's 3 hours later here.
You know, I if I get a call from the FCC, I'll just tell them to talk to you about your Campo Outdoor Adventure Show because you're having an outdoor adventure.
Yeah, that is.
Was that a beer I heard popping in the background?
Yeah, it was. That was exactly what you heard.
Don't ask me how I know that. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Dave. So, listen, something I wanted to share with Fairbanks, because it's kind of – it's not as critical in Fairbanks, but the whole idea of federal overreach, of course, is always big in Alaska. But listen to this. There is a a bill that came through a subcommittee. It's H.R. 3385. That's a national, of course. And it's a bill that changes the definition of a motorcycle, and it could make all these three-wheel bikes, you know, a Polaris makes a Slingshot, Can-Am makes a Spyder. You've seen them. There's not a ton of them in Fairbanks. But it would make them illegal to sell in the United States. And this bill is moving through the subcommittee, and they're saying they're doing it for safety reasons, although they don't have any evidence that these things – I mean, you think about it, Dave. The reason they came out with these three-wheel motorcycles is because guys were getting older and were tipping over two-wheel motorcycles. So, but they're blaming it on safety, and this bill could eliminate a whole product segment. We're talking about tens of thousands of units, $51 billion in retail market value in 2025. It's just ridiculous what these
You know, those have the two front wheels, correct?
Yeah, the two front, one in the back.
Whereas the original three-wheeler had the one front wheel, and those were susceptible to the flipping.
So, yeah, no, I don't know that there's any major accidents. You know, I think what the mentality of some of these proponents of this thing are thinking of the old days of the three-wheeler.
No. The proponent is taking out your competition.
Yeah, former competition. Yeah,
yeah. The, not you, but whoever is you know someone wants this gone.
And so yeah, so what they're saying is that it'll bring regulatory clarity by narrowing
regulatory clarity. That's an oxymoron statement.
Oh, I know. So in the definition of a motorcycle. You know, they talk about the new rules. You can't have a steering wheel, pedals, or bucket seats, or anything like that. So they're, I don't know what's going to happen with this thing, but it's moving through the committee. It's going to be in the main commerce committee here before long. So it's not just something to keep an eye on. You know, I grew up on a Honda three-wheeler, and anything's dangerous, you know, in the wrong hands. You can't go jumping berms. I learned that the hard way. But you know, that little Honda three-wheeler was an amazing invention. It came out, I mean, what happened was the history on that, just kind of interesting. Honda, you know, was making a lot of motorcycles.
Yeah.
But when the season kind of faded down, they wanted to come up with something that would fill that void of a slowdown. Kind of why, same reason snow machines came out. Motorcycles were incredibly popular, but then you had
the winter season,
going all winter, right? Yeah. So they said they started in the snow machines, and it's just typical innovation. Well, they put this guy, Osamu Tashuki, was in charge of the product project to come out with something different that could keep the market going, and they had some prototypes, two-wheelers, four, five, even six-wheelers. But they came out, they found out three was best for like snow and mud and slippery, you know, it was more maneuverable and all that. And I had a 71 ATC 90. It was the first kind of cycle I really got. My folks didn't want us on motorcycles. We lived up in Buquerest and the roads were real coarse back then in Rocky. But
yeah,
they came out with those three-wheelers and so Dad picked one of those up. And
you see, I grew up on a motorcycle. So I looked at
I looked at
people on three wheelers as wimps. I really did. You know, I really did.
And I looked at people on motorcycles as city boys.
Yeah, and then you know, so I have a Honda 125, and you know, I was 14 and 15, get my car when I'm 15. Then I go off to college, and I bought a YZ400 Yamaha, and it was the first two-stroke monster desert, you know, race bike.
Yep.
And I would take that out into the Imperial Valley Desert. And you'd get then four-wheelers were getting popular out there. And the wimpy people drove the three-wheelers, rather. You know, and then you had dune buggies, motorcycles, and then at the lowest end of the totem pole was you three-wheelers, sort of like the floaters on the river.
this is when I'm 11, not 18.
Yeah, I know. You're just doing what you can, yeah. You know, yeah. And luckily you had a, you know, it was not a two-wheel Honda 90, because we had one of those. That was with a Trail 90. Remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had one of those. Those were fun.
Yep.
So yeah, one time my brother Dana with my brother Danny and Bart Wigger from down the street, you know, they're about 10, you know, 10 years old. Nah, Dana's 12. And they all get on the Honda 9 and they just take off down the street. About 20 minutes later, you know, up comes a police car with Danny in the seat, Dana behind him with the Trail 90. And there's a little discussion with my mom and dad. Oh, man.
Hey, listen, I got to tell you, my favorite Honda ATC 90 story is Hiduka basically lived right across the street. Johnny, of course, my best friend growing up. We grew up in Buquerest. The roads were new. My folks built that neighborhood, you know, they developed that whole neighborhood and started in 1960. But it was all coarse rock and you know, you couldn't, not high speed. They didn't oil them or nothing like that. Well, maybe they did back then. I don't know. I think they probably did. But anyway, Johnny, his folks wouldn't let him get a motorcycle or any sort of motorized vehicle. So he had his Schwinn banana seat bicycle, right?
Yeah.
So I had the brilliant idea. I said, hey, I'm tired of waiting on you. You know, he's pedaling on these rocky roads as I rip it up and down on him. I said, I went and got a 30-foot rope.
Oh, God.
I hooked it to his handlebars, and I said, let's go. He goes, yeah. So just we go ripping down the road past my folks' house on Terrace Drive. And I'm flipping through the gears. It was a 4-speed, and I missed third. And by the time I caught it, the rope had got tied up in his wheel. And when I engaged fourth gear,
you flipped him. He went tumbling.
Oh, I took the skin off the whole side of his body, face, leg. I didn't even realize it until I felt the thing slowing down. I'm dragging him on these rocks.
Oh, and he's still your friend?
So we disconnected the bike. It was up ruined. I put him on there. He's bleeding all over my ATC 90, and I dropped him at the bottom of his driveway where his folks are having a cocktail party up on the deck.
Oh,
you know what I told him? You weren't with Craig.
you told your nephew that too.
I know I did. But here comes Johnny limping up the driveway, soaked in blood, and of course everybody freaked out. I took off back home.
Oh,
I hit my bedroom. It took about 2 decades for old man Hiduka to ever even talk to me. He always thought I was a bad influence for some reason.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, I mean, the if you look at the history of that little thing, it really was innovative. You know, Honda mismarketed. They marketed it as a sporty, you know, hot rod. And what happened, Dave, because of the balloon tires, the farmers. And
yeah, it's a work vehicle.
They bought
them
like crazy.
Yeah.
They bought them. They thrills for the rider is what Honda marketed as.
Now look at the hunting with the four bys.
Oh, I know. It's all such a huge part of utility. Well, here's the other thing on the farms that you could burn. I think it was 1/8 of the fuel of a tractor to go across the farm or do whatever you had to do, where you used to have to use a big tractor because you had it. Now you could buy, they were $595, the little ATC 90, the first year they made them. Same price as an Elan the first year they made it in 71.
what it did for in the desert, the people in the desert, where people who weren't that good riding motorcycles could go out to the desert and really enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it really opened up recreational vehicles. The three-wheeler did that.
Well, and here's the – remember Wayne Heimer always talks about Earth Day, and I think it's 71, which was kind of the start of the environmental movement. These, you could take a three-wheeler out in the brush, and as soon as it went over the brush, you didn't know it was ever there.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it just, those balloon tires, the brush would pop right back up. Mm-hmm. So it probably pissed those people off because they thought, you know, it's easier to beat up on the industry if they're tearing up the ground. But yeah, it was pretty crazy. But yeah, it's just neat. I love the history of these kind of things where the company develops something and then the market tells them where the market is.
Yeah.
You know, farmers, ranchers, hunters, Yeah, it's just crazy. But of course, then the four-wheeler came out in the early 80s. I think Suzuki actually came out with the first one. Yeah, the model that was. But then it just took over. Everybody thinks they quit making the three-wheeler because it was dangerous. Way more accidents a couple years after the four-wheelers came out because there was so many built. They've never matched those numbers. I think it was 350,000 or something they built of the four-wheelers. And so there's obviously going to be more accidents when you put more rigs on the ground. So, but anyway, what happened is the industry, the government got involved, okay? And that became the end of the era. For the three-wheelers, they came out and said, "You industry, you got to spend, I don't know what it was, $10 million in 10 years, and have free safety classes and all that." And it, basically, they just quit making the three-wheeler because the four-wheeler just took off. So it was really more, I think, about the market demand than it was anything else. But of course, government has a way of getting in there and ruining everything.
Okay, we're going to take another break, and while we're taking a break, I want you to do me a favor.
Yep.
Pop another Corona.
I can do that. I'm just finishing this one.
Fairbanks will be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Durability, hard work. That's Northern Power Sports. Proud supporters of the Open North American's 80th year of racing. Spring Guarantee pre-order time is here. Reserve 2027 Arctic Cats before March 23rd with just $1,000 down. Only at Northern Power Sports.
KFAR Radio is proud to bring you 50-50 Friday. Every Friday at 9 a.m., log on to our website for a half-price offer from a local business. Great deals on restaurants, stores, shops, services, sporting events, and more. It's 50-50 Friday. This week's offer?
This week's 50-50 Friday offer is from Cafe Miguelito's. This festive new coffee hut is going to wake you up every morning with an amazing selection of coffee drinks and food that Fairbanks has never seen before. You'll find Cafe Miguelito's on College Road across from Creamer's Field. Pull in and check out the menu with creations like the vanilla chai banana bread latte. Try the Mexican spice mocha with butter rum or fill up with a ham and cheese torta with onions and jalapenos. Get your certificate to Cafe Miguelito's this 50-50 Friday.
So log on to KFARradio.com this Friday morning starting at 9 a.m. for this awesome half-price offer. But hurry, as this deal will go fast. It's 50-50 Friday from KFAR.
It's time for the Fairbanks Tired Iron, March 20th and 21st. This year features Friday night snow drags under the lights, courtesy of 49th State Motorsports. Saturday is the show and shine, vintage parade ride, and the closed course ditch banger races. Thousands in prize money drawings. This Friday and Saturday, March 20th and 21st, fire up your old two-stroker and head to the Scouts Food Tent behind Lowe's. Sponsored by 49th State Motorsports, AER, and Fairbanks Tired Iron. More info at fairbankstiredIron.org.
Weather brought to you by Frontier Outfitters, your store for the outdoors. Your next adventure begins at Frontier Outfitters. For your Alaskan lifestyle, it's Frontier Outfitters.
KFAR Weather.
A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 3 below. South winds around 5 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected tonight. Lows dip down to about 26 below. High of 3 above tomorrow. Mainly cloudy skies expected. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Craig, you still in Mexico?
I'm still there.
You sent me a photo of the remnants of your last beer. You got another one now?
I do.
Now I'm going to take you down a rabbit hole. And,
okay.
It starts with Corona, your 12-ounce Corona.
Yeah.
On Sunday, I had some people over, so I went to Walmart, of all places, and I went into their liquor store when I was done looking for some pasta, and I came across their Corona Coronitas. They're 7-ouncers. Now, remember when we were in high school, and we can either confirm or deny our actions and things we did.
We can deny.
But we can deny. But they had those 8-ounce Miller ponies.
Oh.
In an 8-pack.
Yeah. We probably drank 20,000.
Well, I don't think I ever had one, first of all, but they were there.
Oh, yeah.
And then they had
yeah.
those Michelob Sevens, those Mickey Sevens.
Oh yeah.
In the small Michelob bottle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then
I'm sure they don't make those anymore just because of the cost of production.
Yeah. And then they had those green things, those Mickey Big Mouths.
Oh, yes. I remember drinking those on Noise Flu.
I never had one of those. I never had one of those either. And so it's interesting. Yeah. You know, you take a look at beer and beer sizes and everything. And back then when we were in high school, you know, Schlitz was popular.
Oh, yeah.
Ole. Rainier, yep. Hams, all Stroh's gone.
For a while,
Stroh's. Yeah. Stroh's, yeah.
Michelob, yeah. Prince Broy. Hey, Dave, before we get off the air today, I'm missing one thing I always enjoyed so much that's coming up this weekend, Friday and Saturday.
Open North American, yeah.
No.
Oh.
Tired Iron. It's always the same weekend. But listen, they're doing something that's going to be kind of cool. I wanted to let people know. Friday night, Under the Lights drag racing at over by Savage Property over there, the behind Lowe's. They're going to have, you can bring, I forget the year, but I mean, it's almost all sleds, not real racing, but you go to FairbanksTiredIron.org and can find out what you can enter. But they're going to give away thousands of dollars if you bring a sled to the show and shine or you put it in the vintage ride. All the details are on the website. But I really enjoyed that over the years with guys like Bud Fay and Urban Ray Hoy and just the history of the snow machine. So if you haven't got any plans, or even if you're going to the North American, take a few minutes and go over and watch the Tired Iron. Like I said, Friday night, Under the Lights, Scott Peterson and his group are putting that together. And then Dave Weaver and Kurt Huff, who bust their butt every year doing this stuff, they're going to be, and I'm not having to help much this year at all.
Oh, you're in Mexico.
I wrote a radio script. That was about the extent of my effort here.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, when my dad had Pikes, he had the snow machine drag races out there. I think they were on like Wednesday nights. Yeah, and I mean heats and everything. It was put on by the Snowmobile Association, Snow Machine Lions or whatever it was. But that was just a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, Danny Parrish, Steve Darby, all those guys that go out there and lined up. Robin Stenvik, strong old sled.
Yeah, I mean they were there for speed. They had a need for speed, and it was a straight shot.
Yeah, it was quickness. I mean, it's just you get a good hole shot. And I mean, I was on one of those sleds a couple times, and it literally you feel your eyeballs move back in their socket when you crush it.
And you're trying to hang on. You're just trying to hang on.
Spikes on the track.
Yeah,
and the ice doesn't let it slip, and you're just gone. It's the most amazing feeling in the world. Yeah, but anyway, Tired Iron Saturday, Friday and Saturday. Friday night and then Saturday behind Lowe's. Like I said, you can go sign up. They're giving away thousands of bucks just randomly. So if you enter your sled in the show and shine or you get in the – it's not a race. It's just a vintage ride, more a photo op. Bring your old classic. One of the reasons, Dave, is nobody wants to thrash these old like Binkleys and Weavers and all these guys and Rush Lowe's. They have these beautiful – just pristine sleds, and nobody wants somebody bumping into them, but kind of like a parade ride. It's
yeah.
A photo op.
Yeah.
But anyway, you go out there and win a bunch of money, so it's worth it.
You know, then you talk to people like Kurt, and you say, you know, Kurt, how many of these do you have? How many do you have that's out in the yard that you haven't refinished yet? And he'll think for a little bit and say, like, 22? What?
Yeah, no, it's an industry. You know, in 1973 they built more snow machines than they ever have since, but back in the 60s and 70s it was a new thriving industry, and in Alaska it was so big.
Yeah,
it was so much fun, and you just get to see you go out and look at, see how far they've come. Just look at some of the developments over the years: slide rail suspensions, liquid cooled engines, electronic exhaust. They just have advanced so much, but it's neat to look at the old.
Yeah, stuff. A light in the front.
Oh yeah. And then a pop-up light. You had one with a lever. You could.
Yeah, yeah. We had a Nordic that had that, a 72 Nordic, or 70 Nordic. Yeah, we had a 70 Nordic.
Oh yeah, and a lot of those old sleds are worth some money now. But it's fun to look at. Anyway, so go out, go see the show and shine behind Lowe's. The scouts are going to be there with food, so you can go out and get a real cheap, nice lunch, dogs and chips and burgers.
And where's it at? Behind Lowe's.
Yeah, right behind Lowe's. Satellite okay. property there, right behind Lowe's.
Okay.
Yeah, and drag races Friday night, and then the show and shine and vintage ride on Saturday. But all the details are at FairbanksTireandIron.org. It's really a good event. So if you haven't been there, you got to go check it out.
So what's on your agenda for the rest of the week in Mexico?
Oh, you know what? I'm going fishing again. My cousin Randy has got my next door neighbor here. He has a 37-foot fishing boat, and it's called the Stray Cat, and it's just beautiful. It's got two bedrooms in it, three levels. We go out fishing and drinking beer. And yeah. Hey, you know what I did realize, Dave? We do have square tire syndrome down here. It's when your golf cart gets a speed bump.
Oh. I thought when it hits 105 degrees and you haven't moved your golf cart in about 3 days, and they start out square.
Yeah. No, it's just a speed bump.
You know, but, we're gonna have a celebration day called Hurt Craig Compo. He's back.
I tell you what, I don't miss the real cold that we had this year. I picked the perfect year to retire because it's been brutal.
You know, it's been fun though. You know, we can finally say we've had an old fashioned Fairbanks winter.
Well, and that's true. You know, Bernie Carl, I talked to him the other day, and he loves that. He goes, I just love it. The colder, the better. I love it. It just reminds me how tough we are up here, and you know, and people just don't think negative about it so much. I mean, you hear some people whining about it, but and I, like I said, I don't mind missing it. First time in 60 years, I got to miss it.
We're going to hurt you, Craig. We are going to hurt you bad.
Yeah. No, but, it's nice to get away, but I miss it. I look forward to getting back.
You know, and the weatherman, you know, everyone says, oh it's going to break in 5 days. I've been hearing that since 1st of February, and it hasn't broke.
That's so wrong.
Yeah. I don't want to hear it. You know, yesterday I woke up and it was great. It was only minus 22. And this morning I wake up and it's minus 35.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's good. I guess it's good for some industry, the car repair business and shovel sales and stuff like that. Big race is probably doing fine with cold weather.
Yeah, fuel deliveries and fuel prices. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we get this war over and the price of fuel drops again and we get back to reality.
Until then, buy Corona.
Yeah. Get out of there. And by the way, for people who think Mexico is unsafe, it's fine. There's no
Chicago. Chicago is a worse town.
I would feel more afraid in Anchorage, honest to God.
Yeah.
I really would walk in the streets of Anchorge at night than I do here. But anyway, that's what it is.
Well, we got about a minute left, sir. How do you want to end it? Besides, don't pop another beer on the air.
No, I'm not going to pop another beer. Well, I just want to remind people that make it to the Tired Iron. Go out and see the dog races. Those are going to be good. I mean, listen, it's cabin fever, right? Everybody is sick of being locked up indoors. It's almost like COVID. Right?
Yeah, and if you didn't go out last night for the St. Patrick's Day, the Elks is having theirs tonight.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, see, there's stuff to do, and it's getting warmer out, so I don't know what the forecast for the weekend, Dave. I know that it doesn't matter.
20 below. 15, 20 below.
Is.
Yeah.
What about a high? So
minus 5 below. There. Yeah. Just it's Craig.
No, that's not bad.
Yeah, right.
All right.
Okay, buddy, you take care. Yep, you take care.
That's the report from your international man of mystery.
Okay, bye. Oh, Fairbanks, see what I put up with? See what I put up with when I was in high school? I should have gotten combat pay for putting up with Craig Compo as long as I have. Or maybe I should have paid him for the entertainment. It could have gone either way. But hey, today's a Wednesday. I am off tomorrow, but I'm doing my Fairbanks Foodie Show. I'll be recording it, and it's all about Easter dinner and stuff, and what to do on Easter. And Pike's will be open with seatings and platings, and Pump House will be open if you want to go out to dinner or go out for brunch. And I will see you on Friday.